All right, who is the best candidate for the 49ers defensive coordinator position? I have a strong lean toward a certain candidate. And look at the thumbnail that Mike made. We've got Robert Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich over there on the left side. We'll talk about some of the other guys on the right, including Dennis Allen, and I believe that's Deshae Townsend on the right side. We'll also give you a 49ers salary cap update because I've been working on something big regarding Brock Purdy. It's going to come out on the San Francisco Standard very soon. I think probably within the next 24 hours, but hold tight because when that does come out, you're going to have a whole lot more insight into this Brock Purdy contract situation with the 49ers. And what I've been working on in terms of the salary cap update is the actual sheet where we keep track of all this. And San Francisco's in actually really, really good salary cap position. That's what I have to report. I think it's a significant update right now. This is only stuff that you can get to if you do the legwork. And I filled out the 2025 sheet. I finalized the 2024 sheet. I talked about it a little bit a few days ago. 49ers are going to carry over about $50 million. Guys, this is a perpetual cycle. This is the formula that the 49ers use with the salary cap. They restructure deals to the greatest extent possible. And by that, I mean they take base salary and convert it to signing bonus in these contracts so that it's amortized, prorated into the future for up to 5 years. That's how the NFL salary cap structure works. And they create a big gaping hole of room in every near-term year that they're in. So they did this in 2023, the night before the season opener against Pittsburgh. I still remember writing the Nick Bosa contract analysis when I was in Pittsburgh and the 49ers restructured like three or four deals and they opened up $40 million of salary cap space and they operated 2023 with the most room in the NFL, like 40 plus million over the course of the season. They did something really similar this past season, and they have ended this past season, here are the final 2024 books, with about $50 million of salary cap space. So unused space carries over from season to season. They carried over $40 million from 2023 to 2024. They're carrying over $50 million from 2024 to 2025. And because of that, I project them to have $60 million on a 53-man cap projection in 2025, once you carry over the $50 million. I will also give you a little bit of a spoiler alert regarding what I'm coming out with here, maybe over the next 24 hours. I know Brock Purdy's very likely 2025 cap hit under his new contract once that is attained. I think it's going to be around $12 or $13 million. And if it is around $12 or $13 million, you can do the math. It's not that hard at that point. We've done the legwork at this point. $60 million in room. Purdy's cap hit currently accounts for $5.2 million. If it is $12.1 million, I'm going to just do the change on the spreadsheet right now. 49ers would have $52.7 million left over, even after giving Brock Purdy a mega deal. $52.7 million left over to sign 13 more players. I've got 40 on my projection there. So the 49ers, even after Brock Purdy's mega deal, would be ready to do the whole cycle again. They'd sign 13 more players. They'd restructure some guys. They'd make sure some fat is trimmed off of contracts on the roster. You're already seeing one such maneuver with Javon Hargrave. And I project them to be able to roll over $30 to $40 million from 2025 to 2026. The cycle can just keep on continuing. So I'm sure that you watch a lot of things and read a lot of stuff that is all up in arms of the 49ers can't pay Purdy. They need him to take a massive discount, all this and all that. Guys, the proof is in the pudding. We're doing the work right here. We're looking at the financial situation. We've been analyzing it for several seasons. The 49ers have the money, and they've done a great job to keep this sustainable. And it's fascinating to look at the formula. If you want to take a look at the actual work that I've done on the sheet, you could go ahead and click on the link in the comment section. And I have put the link in there. So that's just to get us warmed up. I was just nerding out over that kind of stuff. I'm delving into the sheet. And I figure that if I don't share my knowledge with you here on the channel, what's the point of doing the work at all? Let's share some more knowledge. Let's talk about the 49ers defensive coordinator situation. This is courtesy of our man, Mike. He makes good spreadsheets. Or I make good spreadsheets. Sorry. Mike makes good thumbnails. The defensive coordinator choice for the 49ers. Who is the best candidate? They've only officially announced the interviews of two, Robert Saleh and Deshae Townsend. But I think that the 49ers are going to dig much deeper here. Some people are talking about Lou Anarumo. I saw a few comments to my show earlier today where the talk was, hey, they've got to hire Lou Anarumo. I love the work he did with the Bengals. The Bengals are notoriously cheap, although they did pay Joe Burrow. So quarterback is important. We get it. But, you know, the Bengals didn't retain some of their top defensive players over the course of the past few years. DJ Reader, Jesse Bates is now safety for the Atlanta Falcons. And because of that, the defense for Lou Anarumo did fall off of a cliff in 2024. He did garner a lot of respect over his tenure with the Cincinnati Bengals for making the most out of a limited defensive budget. He also ran both a 4-3 and a 3-4, depending on what the personnel dictated. So he is a versatile defensive coordinator. He's not my top guy, though. My top candidate right now, and the 49ers, again, they haven't officially interviewed him. I keep on circling back to Dennis Allen. If you want the picture, this is Dennis Allen right here to the right of Kyle Shanahan. He's got the Saints visor on. I think that when I'm reading the tea leaves, I'm following the clues, I'm looking at what Kyle Shanahan has said about what he wants, and then I look where the 49ers were most deficient in 2024, I keep on circling back to Dennis Allen. Shanahan, I mean, what he said, and I wrote about this on the San Francisco Standard. We should get this up on the screen because there are a few really, really interesting quotes from Kyle Shanahan that I think help lead us down the correct path. And this is not saying they're going to hire Dennis Allen. This is just me saying I'm trying to connect the dots to see who the best candidate might be. Of course, the interview process has to go well. Of course, the teams have to, you know, even if Dennis Allen were offered the job, they'd have to agree on compensation before anything is signed. So there's a whole lot more to go. But this is what I wrote last week. The 49ers will have three new coordinators in 2025. Here are Kyle Shanahan's main options. And then there was just a lot of good stuff in here as far as quotes from Shanahan. One of the main quotes was, "I'm open to anything." This was in response to a question about his willingness to move away from the team's current defensive scheme, which stayed rooted in a 4-3, which has stayed rooted in a 4-3 cover three base ever since this regime assumed power in 2017. So Shanahan says he's open to anything, which opened people's minds to coordinators like Lou Anarumo. But then Shanahan said something that might have slightly contradicted that, so I included that quote as well. Read this. Shanahan says, "I'm not saying you have to change schemes, but you have to have the ability, the history, and the knowledge of how to change some stuff up when you're in certain situations. And I do think we need more of that moving forward. I want someone who meshes with what I believe in. You have to come up with the best possible thing that fits our situation right now." Boom. This right here, I believe, is the strongest set of clues in a quote from Kyle Shanahan as to what he'll be pursuing at defensive coordinator. I think that the headline news, and I made sure to include that, was, "I'm open to anything." But I think that the key news is this right here. "I'm not saying you have to change schemes, but you have to have the ability, the history, and the knowledge of how to change some stuff up when you are in certain situations. That is the be all end all. I'll get this back up on the screen so we could talk about it a little bit more. With Dennis Allen, you have somebody who fits the 4-3. And Kyle Shanahan right here says you have to come up with the best thing possible that fits our situation right now. So when you look at that, you think, okay, the 49ers don't want to do mass personnel change. The 49ers want to make sure, I think, you know, we heard Nick Bosa talk this year. We saw the defensive line start to perform better as the season progressed. I know that the last couple games were a disaster across the entire defense, but let's be realistic about who the 49ers are going to keep and who they're going to move on from. I think that the defensive line, they signed a lot of those guys to two-year contracts. They were actually leading that defense at a certain point late in the season. I think of the game against the Rams where they played really well. Bosa was very happy with their play. I think the 49ers stay in a 4-3. So I think that Dennis Allen is somebody that meshes with what Kyle Shanahan believes in. I think that he can see Allen, who ran a 4-3 over all those years with the New Orleans Saints to really good effectiveness, who ran a 4-3 that the 49ers struggled to run against in the 2022 season. He sees Dennis Allen, I think, as somebody who can port that to success with what the 49ers are running, because there is a demonstrated desire right here to continue along with some of what has already worked. And we ask ourselves, what already worked in 2024? Well, a lot went wrong in that season, but the one component of the defense that seemed to really click at the time when the 49ers peaked, and that was in those back-to-back games against the Bears and the Rams, was a healthy defensive front with Nick Bosa running the 4-3. I'm not convinced that the 49ers are going to move away from the wide nine. I know they want to stay with a four-man front. The wide nine might be a separate question, and it might be dependent on how these defensive coordinator interviews go, because I'm sure the candidates are going to have feedback of their own. So that's something that we can shelve for another time. Right now, we're just talking about the DC who's actually going to come in. But I do think that the high point of the season defensively is something the 49ers want to capture and recreate moving forward, obviously improve on and make more consistent. And I think those games, what was it, week 15 and 16? Week 14 and 15, the Bears and the Rams, when the front was playing the way that it was playing, those are the games the 49ers are going to want to recreate. Now, it's not just the front. It's about the entire front seven. It's about the linebackers, too. That's what the 4-3 is all about. Four down linemen, three linebackers. Everybody is really wondering about Dre Greenlaw's future at this point with the 49ers. And I think it's all going to come down to what they're running and then what his market is, right? And what they're running is going to depend on who they hire. So back to the first part of this quote now. Shanahan says, I'm not saying you have to change schemes, but you have to have the ability, the history, and the knowledge of how to change some stuff up when you're in certain situations. I think right there, Shanahan is clearly broadcasting that he wants a defensive coordinator with experience. He needs a DC with experience. Yes, they did interview Deshae Townsend, but Townsend's never been a defensive coordinator at this level before. I think that they probably collected some good ideas from Deshae Townsend. There's other guys like Jim Leonard of the Denver Broncos, who's also never been a defensive coordinator before, who might interview with the 49ers. I think that would be a good idea. He did a great job as Denver's DB coach this year. We talked about Deshae Townsend being a DB coach for the Detroit Lions, and I thought they did some nice things with coverage this year, especially with limited personnel. I think it's fine for the 49ers to gather intel from some of these young up-and-comers, but the biggest issue that they ran into this past season was that Nick Sorensen was a young up-and-comer, and he wasn't quite ready for the bright lights of the defensive coordinator job. He wasn't ready to execute what Kyle Shanahan talked about here. You have to have the ability, the history, and the knowledge of how to change some stuff up when you're in certain situations. They're going to need somebody, and I think Kyle Shanahan wants somebody that's sitting on an encyclopedia of experience, somebody who has seen a surprise four wide set, somebody who's seen a lot of RPO stuff, somebody who's seen a play action based offense like the Detroit Lions, who might again be the class of the NFC next year that the 49ers have to take down. A defensive coordinator that has seen all those formations at the NFL level and has seen permutations of them at the NFL level and will be able to adapt on the fly. That's what Kyle Shanahan specifically said that he wants. And out of the candidates that we have talked about so far, and we could look at the picture again because Mike did such a good job with that, I think that Ulbrich has seen his share of stuff in the NFL. Saleh has as well. But Saleh might not be a realistic candidate. He's interviewing tomorrow or Thursday for the Raiders head coaching job. If he takes a head coaching job, and today was the Jacksonville interview for him, Jacksonville seems to really like him. If Saleh takes a head coaching job, you can cross him off the list. Then the guy with the most experience here that's available right now would be Dennis Allen. That's the one coach that would fit the profile that the 49ers are looking for. I have talked about the last week, my main thing has been blitzing. Who can bring a solid blitz? Who can bring a disguised blitz? The biggest problem for the 49ers last year, I think, from just a play calling schematic perspective defensively, is that it was way too vanilla. I get it. This is a defense that does not like to bring pressure. It hasn't. Robert Saleh had one of the lowest blitz rates in the league in 2017. One of the lowest blitz rates in the league in 2018. Those 2 years didn't really matter. He was building the structure of the defense. The 49ers weren't looking to necessarily win now in those 2 years. They were looking to build the program in those 2 years. 2019 shows up and Saleh gets his defensive front, right? He gets Nick Bosa. He gets D Ford. Fred Warner has matured into his second season. Richard Sherman has had a chance to tutor the young defensive backs for the second year. By the way, cool full circle moment in the game last night. Ekello Witherspoon delivers the hit on Sam Darnold on the cornerback blitz that turns into the fumble, that turns into the return that effectively seals the game for the Rams. Remember, Ekello was a third round pick of the 49ers back in 2017. When Richard Sherman showed up in 2018, he was the ideal mentor for Ekello Witherspoon. The 49ers essentially had a defensive coordinator as a player on the field. And the cool part about that was that back in 2018, 2017 too, I mean, early in that defense, the 49ers were trying to build a carbon copy of the Legion of Boom. I know that Ekello Witherspoon never blossomed into a star player for the 49ers, but it was all part of the story. And they drafted Ekello because he was tall. He was, I think he was 6'2", 6'3". It reminded him physically of Richard Sherman, who was a 6'3 cornerback, who was that prototypical tall corner for the press man coverage that you need in the cover three. And then they brought Sherman in as a free agent after Seattle cut him in 2018, specifically to mentor guys like Ekello Witherspoon, because Saleh, who came from Seattle and Jacksonville, the Gus Bradley, Dan Quinn, Pete Carroll 4-3 that traced all the way back to the 49ers scheme in 1995, Saleh was trying to implement what worked there. So what better way to do it than by bringing the actual prototypical corner from that Legion of Boom himself and Richard Sherman to the team? So yesterday, after Ekello Witherspoon, who's now with the Rams, forced the fumble, Richard Sherman, it was like a proud mentor tweeting at Ekello Witherspoon. I thought it was really cool. I thought that it was a full circle moment there for Ekello Witherspoon, who, by the way, is now in his eighth year in the league. So he's hung on for a while. And I know that I just thought it was neat too that he was known as not being the most physical player for the 49ers. They can never really get him to deliver the physical mentality that somebody like Richard Sherman had. There was glimpses of it that he showed in that 2020 season before he was a free agent. But Ekello finally showed that, I think, a little bit with the Rams last night. Just goes to show you that players can develop over time. Anyway, they had Sherman. And this is about the 49ers' defensive evolution from 2017 to 2019 and beyond. Sherman was on the team. The defensive line was stocked up. the linebacker position had matured. Dre Greenlaw was a rookie in 2019. Finally, Saleh had the pieces to legitimately pass rush with four men, which is the key for any NFL defense since the beginning of football. And he didn't need to blitz in 2019. So whereas 2017 and 2018 could have used some blitzes, who cares? The 49ers were building the program. They were building for the structure that they were finally able to enjoy in 2019 when they had the pass rush with four men and their blitz rate was among the lowest in the league. You know when the 49ers blitz rate first increased under this regime? Was in 2020. That was when Nick Bosa got hurt. Dee Ford got hurt. The defense's best pass rusher was Kerry Hyder, at least on the edge rushing position. And they needed to blitz. So the blitz rate went up in 2020. And Robert Saleh found a way to salvage good efficiency from the defense. They remained ranked in the top 10 in 2020, despite the fact that they lost so much due to injury. That was the Jason Verrett year, by the way. He was awesome in 2020. So the 49ers adapted in 2020 under Robert Saleh. He was able to maintain a top 10 defense despite a bunch of injuries. He's able to do what Nick Sorensen was unable to do in 2024. Saleh got hired away by the Jets. So the 49ers promoted DeMeco Ryans to be their defensive coordinator in 2021. This is inconvenient for a lot of people because they try to simplify the past and they don't mention the ups and downs and the complicated nature of everything. But in 2021, over the first half of the season, the 49ers had a bad defense. They're ranked number 20 over the first half of the season under DeMeco Ryans. Do you guys remember the Arizona game where Colt McCoy came into Levi's Stadium, the backup quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray done for the year with a torn ACL? McCoy came in and hung, I think they hung 40. They at least hung 30. No, it might have been 30. It was 30 plus on the 49ers. Like 31-17, I think, was the final score. But Eno Benjamin, the backup running back for the Cardinals, literally ran over Drake Kirkpatrick, 49ers cornerback. The 2021 49ers set an NFL record for the most pass interference yardage. They committed like 16 pass interference penalties that year. They gave up nearly 400 yards in pass interference yardage that year. It was a downright bad defense, and it was a bad run defense, and it was a bad pass defense for the first half of the year, or at best, a mediocre run defense. DeMeco Ryans made an adjustment midway through the year to bring that 49ers defense back to life. What he did is Eric Armstead was playing the five technique. He was playing defensive end, and then he was playing some defensive tackle, but not much. He was shifting inside in certain personnel packages. The decision was to move Eric Armstead inside full-time. Let's make Eric Armstead a defensive tackle, DeMeco Ryans said. I'm sure he conferred with Chris Kocurek before this. He said, we're moving him inside. We need to command the interior operating this wide nine and stop the run. The pass defense is already brutal. We don't have enough cornerback talent to make things work. So we have to cobble things together by at least being a good run defense to set up pass rushing opportunities. So they moved Armstead inside. They turned into the number two run defense over the rest of the season. So one of the most epic and epically successful adjustments the 49ers have made defensively in the Shanahan era. And guess what they also did over the second half of that 2021 season to be good? DeMeco Ryans blitzed, and he blitzed successfully. It took him a while to get a hang of it because he was a new defensive coordinator, but by the second half of the season, DeMeco Ryans was dialing up pressure with the best of them. I mean, there was a game against Cincinnati I talk about a lot. The Bengals ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. They were within a play of beating the Rams, kind of like the 49ers were within a play of beating the Rams in the NFC Championship game 2 weeks prior to that. The Bengals in that game were torching the 49ers in a comeback. Like, San Francisco jumped out to a big lead. I remember Deebo Samuel doing good stuff, Jimmy Garoppolo doing good stuff. I remember the Bengals muffing a couple punts in that game. So the 49ers were in position to beat them, but then the Bengals started torching Ambry Thomas. They started using Jamar Chase, started going to their top weapons, right? And when Cincinnati did that and they started coming back, the 49ers ran into a situation that reminded me in retrospect of what Kyle Shanahan talked about in his press conference last week. He said, you have to have the ability, the history, and the knowledge of how to change some stuff up when you're in certain situations. DeMeco Ryans was a rookie coordinator at the time, but I think based on what he did during that game against Cincinnati, it was ascertained that this guy was a prodigy. This guy was ahead of his time. This guy was on the fast track to be a head coach because he dialed up some blitzes that Joe Burrow and the Bengals were not ready for in that game as a first-year coordinator down the stretch after not calling blitzes early in the game. The most successful one was Kaywan Williams, either in the fourth quarter or overtime. I tend to have a semi-photographic memory, but it's not precise enough to remember if the Kaywan Williams, the shark blitz, was in the fourth quarter or overtime. But Ryan's dealt the blitzes that needed to be dealt to push the 49ers past the Bengals, and then they won a few more games, and then they eventually found themselves in the NFC Championship game. I mean, think of the coordinating that had to happen for the 49ers, as shorthanded as they were, to shut down Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams with Dante Johnson as one of their primary cornerbacks in the divisional round playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys were the number one offense that year, and the 49ers also shut down Dallas for the majority of the game. It wasn't until the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game, after Jaquaski Tartt had dropped an interception, that was one of the great butterfly effects that we'll ever see. I mean, if Jaquaski Tartt catches that interception, I was texting with a friend today. He said he called it a true butterfly effect play. It would have placed Tartt permanently into 49ers lore, and the 49ers would have probably also beaten the Bengals in the Super Bowl 2 weeks after that. But we're not here to talk about the Tartt drop. We're here to talk about the fact that DeMeco Ryans adjusted the hell out of a bad defense and turned it into a unit that was one dropped interception away from going to the Super Bowl, where all they would have had to have done is beat a team they had already beaten to win a Super Bowl. So Shanahan had that at the defensive coordinator position in 2021. It took Ryans about half a season to figure it out. Once he figured it out, lights out with worse personnel to end 2021. By 2022, they added Charvarius Ward, so they had their lockdown cornerback. Ryans was a veteran coordinator, and the 49ers, history tells us, were just fine. They were the number one defense in the league. So Ryans gets hired away. 2023, they run out of internal promotions. They obviously didn't want to promote Nick Sorensen quite yet. So what do the 49ers do? Well, they decide to bring in outside help. They bring in Steve Wilks. But they love what they were already doing. They just didn't have the leadership on staff, at least according to Kyle Shanahan's appraisal of the situation, to go with an internal promotion. And they went with Steve Wilks, who was new to the system. Shanahan made it a point to tell Steve Wilks, you have to assimilate to our system. You have to do what my dad did, Mike Shanahan did in 92, when George Seifert told him, this is how the Bill Walsh system works. You learn the defense. Seifert was the original defensive coordinator under Bill Walsh, or he's the original DB coach, moved up to DC. But you learn the defense, then you could sprinkle in your own stuff. The 49ers thought they could walk this tightrope with Steve Wilks, where he would sprinkle in his own coverage concepts, but still maintain the structure of the 49ers defense. It didn't work. Everybody knows it didn't work. Their run defense fell off a cliff. They went from number one to number 26 in run defense. The defense fell from number one to number 10. Steve Wilks gets fired. So Shanahan, when he sits down after the 2023 season, after firing Steve Wilks because of that regression, because that just didn't work out, he's thinking long and hard. And remember, it's already mid-February because the 49ers have played in the Super Bowl that year. The best defensive coordinator candidates are scooped up. He knows he can't run it back with Wilks because he doesn't like the direction the defense was heading. So he says, well, the last time that we ran with an in-house guy, it worked. Maybe Nick Sorensen has learned enough in the 2023 season to be polished enough to take the job now. So he promoted Nick Sorensen. Now, history tells us that these were two missed defensive coordinator hires in a row. They missed on Wilks Obviously, they missed on Sorensen. He wasn't quite ready yet. They also tried to augment the Sorensen hiring with the Brandon Staley hiring because they figured that a guy with some DC experience in a different system, Staley comes from the Vic Fangio tree, the 3-4 tree. They figured that having that sounding board, that mind in the room would allow the 49ers defense to continue to evolve. It didn't work. I get it. We've covered why and how it didn't work, but the defense dropped even further from number 26 to number 29 against the run, and they finished miserably. They finished at number, what was it? I think 26 overall. So that's why the 49ers are back at the drawing board that they're at now. And I think that all logical thought leads to a very similar conclusion. And that is, this defense has run the gamut with internal promotions. I mean, they finally hit the limit with Nick Sorensen, but they still need to evolve outside of their existing structure, which they like, by the way. They still like their existing structure, but it must be tweaked and modified so they're more adaptable, more flexible than this past season when Sorensen only dialed up blitzes with two or more men 1.7% of the time. So given the fact the 49ers need to satisfy all these conditions, I think you need to go outside the building to an experienced voice who can run the 4-3, but can also sprinkle in graduate level knowledge of the rest of the NFL into how the 49ers can counteract that knowledge with their defense. So we go back to the great thumbnail. We go back to this. And we see Sala. Like, I think Sala is everybody's favorite because of the fact that we know he can run the 4-3. We know he implemented the system. And we also know that he has evolved as a coach. I mean, he had to go through the ringer as the head coach of the New York Jets. So I think that Sala would be a great candidate for the 49ers. But the fact that he'd be a great candidate for the 49ers means that he's getting head coaching jobs with worse teams elsewhere, or head coaching opportunities to interview with other teams elsewhere. Will he get hired as a head coach? Maybe to probably. The latest report is that Jacksonville really likes him. So the 49ers have to be ready to move on without somebody like Robert Saleh, which is why, you know, you could look at the second in line to Saleh in New York, Jeff Ulbrich, the former linebacker of the 49ers from 2000 to 2009 from San Jose, obviously learned under Saleh. Knows Kyle Shanahan from time spent together on the Atlanta Falcons coaching staff. Both of these guys, they were the architects of the New York Jets defense, which was really good for most of the time over the past few years. It was really good up until Woody Johnson decided to fire Robert Saleh and throw Jeff Ulbrich into the interim head coach role. So he was out of the DC role. But the Jets blitzed. They upped the blitz rate. They did what the 49ers, I think, really need to do. They adapt it. It wasn't just the same old 4-3 that Saleh had run with the 49ers that he had learned in Seattle and continued learning in Jacksonville under Gus Bradley, who's also available, by the way. It wasn't just that same scheme. It was an evolved scheme that kept the Jets in the top five for most of that tenure defensively. They finally dropped out of that top five after the big shuffle that was caused by ownership. So you have to like Ulbrich for that reason. You have to like Saleh for that reason. But if you really want experience and Saleh is not available, you can slide over here to Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen ran the 4-3 under Sean Payton for years and years and years. And it was quietly one of the better defenses in the NFL, and it was quietly one of the best third down and red zone defenses in the entire league. So everybody talked about Sean Payton and Drew Brees and an offense that obviously was breaking NFL records. But the reason those Saints were perennial contenders was because they filled things out on the defensive side of the ball as well. And that is a credit to Dennis Allen and what he was able to build in New Orleans. A lot of the studying that I've done on Dennis Allen over the course of the last week or so, as I'm considering the 49ers are going to bring in a defensive coordinator. He varied his 4-3 looks a lot. And that, again, that goes back to what Kyle Shanahan said that he wanted. He blitzed a lot. That also goes back to what Kyle Shanahan said that he wanted. And he had success against the 49ers specifically. Not in 2019, mind you. That's when Jimmy Garoppolo lit up the Saints. But Drew Brees was lighting up the 49ers and Robert Saleh. I mean, that was a Saleh and Dennis Allen game, right? The 2019 game, the 48-46 game at the Superdome. By the way, speaking of the Superdome, speaking of Dennis Allen, former coordinator and coach of the state Saints, I'm going to digress really quickly. You guys see the Bill Walsh book like right there behind me. You know, it's a little bit blurred out. I'm reading another Bill Walsh book. That one is downstairs. Did you know that the 49ers' first road win under Bill Walsh, which was a huge monumental thing for what would become the 49ers dynasty, happened at the Louisiana Superdome? It was a win against the Saints to open the 1980 season. So 1979 was Bill Walsh's first year. 49ers did not win a single road game that year. They're terrible. They went 2-14. They weren't very good in 1980. They finished 6-10, but they started that season 3-0. And that was the year where they started mixing Joe Montana in more frequently with Steve DeBerg. Montana was in his second year. By the end of the season, Montana had fully taken over the starting job. And by the end of the season, he also had the big comeback win over the Saints at Candlestick under his belt. It was 35-7 at halftime. 49ers were getting outgained like 311-24 at halftime. The crowd was already leaving. Montana led the 49ers from behind. I think they won 38-35. They were down 35-7. Great game, but it was the first game of that season in New Orleans that was the first road win of the, I was about to say Kyle Shanahan, of the Bill Walsh era. Just some cool Saints trivia for you. Happened against New Orleans. Anyway, that 2019 game at the Superdome featured the 49ers and the Saints, and it featured Dennis Allen on one side, and obviously the 49ers and Jimmy G and George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders, Raheem Mostert, they eviscerated that Saints defense. But it happens. Other side, the 49ers had the number two defense in the league, and Drew Brees eviscerated them. 48-46 games, they're exciting. 49ers won it. Robbie Gould hit the field goal at the end after George Kittle did his WrestleMania impersonation. It was the 2022 game that if the 49ers do end up hiring Dennis Allen, I'm going to point back at that 2022 game as an inception point. In 2022, the Saints came to Levi's and got shut out. They didn't score. I don't care what they did on offense, though. I think Bridgewater was their quarterback that year. What they did on defense was very impressive because that was the McCaffrey version of the 49ers. The 49ers were rolling at that point. That was after the Mexico City win over the Arizona Cardinals where they just eviscerated Arizona. That was after the trade. That was when the 49ers were on their 10-game win streak. Jimmy Garoppolo was on fire. And New Orleans came in and held the 49ers the 13 points. And at the time, people were like, oh, yeah, defensive battle. You know, offense played a sloppy game. Well, Kyle Shanahan, that was the outside level talk. The inside level talk was Shanahan was impressed with that Saints defense, which was led by Dennis Allen. He was a first-year head coach. He had been just promoted from defensive coordinator to head coach after the departure of Sean Payton. And I think that now that Allen is no longer the head coach and he's a free agent, if he does want to coach again, if he wants to be a coordinator this year, and if the 49ers do interview him, and if he does come in based on some of the tea leaves that I'm reading, based on what Kyle Shanahan wants, I will look back at that 2022 game because I think that Dennis Allen earned a lot of respect with Kyle Shanahan. You know, it's not just about the games. It's about the fact that you have to prepare for these coaches. So these Shanahan will spend an entire week studying the Saints ahead of any game against New Orleans. And when you're in your office and you're delving into this tape, you see the tendencies that these defensive coordinators have. And in a way, it's a job interview before an actual job interview happens. You're like, oh, nice. Well, I see what Dennis Allen is doing. You're watching his entire body of work from that season, and then you're trying to make a game plan against it. So those are my thoughts regarding the defensive coordinator search. I know it's complex. I know I go through the history, but I think it's important to use the history to learn about what Kyle Shanahan may or may not want with the 49ers. And once you do know the full picture, then you could start to connect the dots and be a little bit more predictive about what the 49ers might do. So those are my thoughts on the potential best candidate at the defensive coordinator position. Update today for the 49ers. San Francisco has interviewed Chris Tabor to be their special teams coordinator. Speaking of experience, this is the most experienced candidate that the 49ers have brought in officially so far, at least out of what they've announced. Tabor has coached special teams at the NFL level for the last quarter century. He first came up as an assistant special teams coordinator for the Chicago Bears in their dominant era of special teams play. Remember when they had Devin Hester? Not only did they have Hester, but they also returned a field goal, a missed field goal from the 49ers on one of the windiest games ever at Soldier Field because it's right off Lake Michigan. They had a 109-yard return for a touchdown at the end of the half. That was one of the more embarrassing moments in 49ers history. That came while Chris Tabor was the assistant special teams coordinator of the Bears, to give you an idea of how long he's been doing this. But I'm sure some of you longtime fans remember, this was back during the dark ages of the 49ers. There was a field goal. I don't know if it was Joe Nedney kicking at the time, but the wind, it was just a total joke. The wind blew this thing like 30 yards to the side. And because the Bears were ready for that kick to miss by a lot, they put a returner back there. And the returner got the ball right in front of the goal line, and he ended up against all the big men on the field. You know, it was a touchdown running against the fat guys. He ran 109 yards for a touchdown, and the 49ers would lose in yet another game. They lost a lot of games back in that era. Anyway, Chris Tabor is the latest interviewee. They previously had interviewed two other candidates. If you go to my depth chart, you can look to see all the interviews. Tabor, Jet Modkins, Chris Banjo, defensive coordinator interviews, Deshae Townsend, Robert Saleh for San Francisco. I talked about Townsend a little bit earlier. Mike Ertaza said that the Colts are setting up an interview with Dennis Allen. I just got a text from him. So if the 49ers want Dennis Allen, they better move on that front, because the Indianapolis Colts no longer have Gus Bradley there in Indianapolis. They're going to be moving to another 4-3 guy, and Dennis Allen is going to be one of the candidates. And who knows? Maybe there's something that will prevent the 49ers from going the Dennis Allen direction. Maybe there's something that Kyle Shanahan doesn't quite like as his own defensive coordinator. But I can say that 2022 game and Dennis Allen's pedigree and Kyle Shanahan's quotes about this position, I do think that a lot of those things line up. Earlier today, we talked about the 49ers having the easiest schedule in 2025. That includes a trip to face the Saints in the Superdome. I'm ready for some of your questions. Let's go for it. We started this off with a salary cap update, by the way. 49ers, I project at $60 million of room in that 2025 season on the 53-man cap projection. Time to post your questions. What's my drink? I've been drinking tea lately because I'm doing some of these shows with a little bit of a cold. I might have developed a cold by doing shows in 36-degree weather outside. I'm inside now. The fire is burning. It's getting a little warm in here, though. I think Jim Schwartz from Cleveland is still under contract. I'm not 100% sure about that, though. But Jim Schwartz plays the 4-3, and he also runs a wide nine. He's also an experienced coordinator. So if the 49ers really want to keep the front exactly the same, yes, Schwartz could be a good candidate. But I'm not sure if he has the freedom to move this offseason, similar to Jeff Ulbrich last year. When do the 49ers need to hire a defensive coordinator by? As soon as possible. You know, if you're really looking for an experienced guy, you want to take advantage of the fact that you have a little bit of a head start. because you didn't go to the Super Bowl this year. You've got most of January to get this done. So last year, I think the 49ers found themselves in a bit of a bind because they didn't have the ability to move until later. This year, you'd like to move sooner because the futures of some of your defensive players like Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga, one of the big variables the 49ers are waiting on that front is the defensive coordinator position. Do I expect the 49ers to clean house with the defensive coaching staff? I don't, because I have, you know, read some of what Kyle Shanahan has said going back to this. He's saying you don't have to change everything, but that could be a sticking point if you're trying to bring in one of these really experienced names, like a Dennis Allen, like a Gus Bradley, if we want to toss out another name. Those guys have enough cachet in this league. They've been around for long enough to where they might demand, I want my own staff in there. And that staff might not overlap with what you already have. So this is a tricky question to answer. And right now we're operating with the fog of war. We don't know how the 49ers are going to proceed, and we don't know exactly what the downstream effects regarding the staff are going to be. Don says, Saleh's risky because coaches will try to poach him again, but he's definitely worth the risk. Well, the thing, though, is that you don't know if Saleh's even going to be available this time around. That's still TBD. Now, I do understand the sentiment, and I think somebody like Dennis Allen could potentially be the 49ers' Steve Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo has already failed as a head coach. It doesn't seem like he even wants to be a head coach anymore. He might be a lifelong DC at this point. Perfect for the Chiefs. They get continuity. The one thing the 49ers have not had is continuity. Robert Saleh left after 2020. DeMeco Ryans was there for 2 years. Steve Wilks was there for one. And then Nick Sorensen was the defensive coordinator for one. So they've had they're going to have three defensive coordinators in 3 years. That certainly is not ideal. The 49ers would certainly like to have some more stability at that spot. And that's another reason that you look at somebody like Dennis Allen, because I think that he could potentially bring that for the 49ers. You misspelled fossil. It's not F-O-S-S-I-L. It's F-A-S-S-E-L. I just think it's funny. John Fossil's special teams units have been good. He's regarded as one of the better special teams coordinators in the game. Of course, he's had some nice talent. Dallas has Kevontae Turpin, and Fossil got to coach him. Nice return piece. You know, there's Darren Rizzi. Speaking of the Saints, Rizzi, really good special teams coordinator, probably available as well. Fossil, formerly of the Cowboys. I know McCarthy has moved now. You have to look into that. Chris Tabor, experienced special teams name that the 49ers looked at. I made this point earlier, though. Brian Schneider was considered a really good special teams coach over his time in Seattle. I don't think he suddenly became a bad coach. I think that the environment of a team, because you never really construct the roster to be good at special teams, unless you're totally obsessed with it. I guess Belichick might have been obsessed at that level. But generally, you're looking to be good at offense and defense, and then the leftovers play special teams, and you hope there's enough overlap. I really think that team culture and mentality about special teams is what most influences how that phase of the game plays. So that explains why Schneider had good special teams units in Seattle, but they only got worse in his time with the 49ers. I think that Shanahan has to reemphasize his commitment to special teams, not just through acquisitions, not just through what he says at press conferences, but in his everyday philosophy. Can't have offhand jokes about special teams just not screwing things up. Can't be blasé about the whole operation. This has to be a full commitment to special teams so that whoever is at that coordinator position is able to succeed. Chris always has good questions. Do you think Purdy's contract talks will be quieter than Debo, Ayuk's, and Bosa's? I really don't know. The initial hints that we've gotten publicly are yes. But maybe it's just people saying all the right things to the media. So we have to be wary of that. The 49ers have been very clear about saying that Brock Purdy is their guy. They want him around for a long time. They're making it sound like they're operating in very good faith. Brock Purdy has said that he wants to be the 49ers quarterback for a long time, that he's their guy. And I'm sure Shanahan and Lynch have told him the same thing, that he wants to get this deal signed sooner rather than later. It was not nearly as harmonious when it came to public comments in the earlier contract talks, especially with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuels. Nick Bosa was mainly quiet. But with Ayuk and Samuel, you had a lot of extracurricular drama, right? You had social media. Brandon Ayuk was crying at his locker during his press availability 2 days after the Super Bowl. It all foreshadowed to not be really the easiest thing. Yeah, I even wrote about it in the San Francisco Standard. This is worth putting up on the screen. It was one of the 10 exact moments that 2024 season fell apart. Tears in the locker room. It was foreshadowing that this was not going to be easy. We've gotten the opposite messaging from Purdy and also markedly different messaging from Lynch and Shanahan regarding Purdy and this potential contract. And this all happened last week. So part of me does say, yes, this is going to be easier. But this is also a mega deal. I think Purdy has every right to ask for $60 million or more based on his accomplishments in the league so far. So, and even though APY, I get it, doesn't ultimately matter. It is significant, though, to parties in this deal. It will be. I know that for a fact. So it's going to be really interesting to see how involved John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are, when they're involved in the process, how important it is for the 49ers to get this done sooner rather than later, just for team chemistry, for vibe purposes, and how seriously they take that probably is going to determine how quickly this does get signed. But in the case of these deals, you always have to be ready for it to be a marathon. But then you look at some signs that show you maybe it's going to be a little bit quicker. And I think that we have some of those signs already. So we'll see. All right, guys, I'm tired. I'm calling it. Fun show. I wanted to go for about an hour. I made it to 53 minutes. You can go ahead and watch the update from before this. That was as in-depth of a breakdown of the 49ers thinking a defensive coordinator as I think you're going to get. So if you agree, hit that subscribe button right now. Much more coming tomorrow and moving into the offseason. Thanks for watching. See you very soon.